Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Monday, the 10th of June, up to 100 people are killed in an attack in Mali. The Pope meets with the reunion of aid agencies that provides aid to the Oriental Catholic Churches, and the Congregation for Catholic Education publishes a new document on gender. In the Vatican, I'm Lydia O'Kane. Reports from Mali suggest around 100 people have been killed in an attack in the central region. It is said to have taken place in the village of Dogon ethnic group. Nathan Morley reports.
According to initial reports, around 100 people were killed in the nighttime attack at Sobeinkou, which is a village in central Mali. RFI, the French international broadcaster, cited a local official as saying the bodies of the dead had been burned, some beyond identification. Whilst France 24 reported that the defence ministry in Mali had confirmed the death of 95 people, adding that 19 were still missing. A search for more bodies is ongoing into Monday evening, whilst local media say that Sobeinkou has been completely destroyed. The village is inhabited by the Dogon ethnic group. Over the last few months, there have been many attacks across the country. Some are blamed on ethnic tensions. Others, meanwhile, are conducted by jihadist groups who usually target security forces. Dogon hunters and semi-nomadic Fulani herders often clash. 2 months ago, over 100 Fulani villagers were murdered by armed men who were donned in Dogon hunters' clothing. Outbreaks of violence have intensified dramatically since a militant Islamist uprising gripped northern Mali back in 2012. Both sides always point the finger at each other for conducting attacks. In the past, disagreements between Fulani and Dogon were usually settled through dialogue, but the 2012 uprising, which has engulfed much of the country, has pretty much eroded government control. For Vatican News, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
In Hong Kong, over a million protesters, according to organisers of the rally, thronged the streets of the city on Sunday to protest a planned bill that would allow extradition to mainland China. The new law would allow the government to hand fugitives over to authorities in Macau, Taiwan and China. Opponents of the bill fear that it would allow Beijing to subject people who have fled to the former British colony for having expressed opinions contrary to the Chinese government to detention and trial in the People's Republic of China. Concern has also been expressed by international businesses, industrial and financial groups operating locally, because in times of an ongoing trade war between China and the United States, managers and bankers fear they could find themselves as pawns in judicial disputes. The former British colony was returned to Chinese sovereignty in 1997 with the guarantee of semi-autonomy until 2047, and a set of certain rights and political freedoms, including an autonomous judiciary system. The extradition law is supported by Governor Carrie Lam, Chief Executive Officer of Hong Kong. Jeremy Hunt, one of the leading candidates vying to succeed Prime Minister Theresa May, said he would leave the European Union without a deal, but with a heavy heart, and that he hoped the bloc would engage with a new British leader. The current British Foreign Secretary said failure to deliver Brexit had put the country and the Tory party in grave peril.
I've always said I'd be prepared to leave without a deal if there was a straight choice between no deal and no Brexit. But I do so with a heavy heart because of the risks to businesses and the risks to the Union. And I would not do so if a deal that commands the support of Parliament was in sight. But Parliament has made clear its intentions to take no deal off the table, no matter what the new Prime Minister says or does. So without a deal, any Prime Minister who promised to leave by a certain date would have to call a general election to change the parliamentary arithmetic. And that is an election we would lose badly. Because the lessons of the European and Peterborough elections are clear. If we fight an election before delivering Brexit, we will be annihilated.
Sudan's ruling military on Monday blamed the country's protest movement for an escalation as the second day of the opposition's general strike kicked in. The protesters have been trying to pressure the army to hand over power to civilian rule following the April ouster of longtime autocrat Omar al-Bashir. Last week, a ruthless assault on demonstrators left over 100 people dead in the capital, crushing hopes for a swift democratic transition of power. Yesterday, Pope Francis appealed for prayers and for dialogue and peace for the common good of the people of Sudan. The head of the UN Atomic Watchdog is urging world powers to continue dialogue with Iran to keep it in the landmark 2015 deal aimed at preventing the country from building nuclear weapons. In his regular update to the International Atomic Energy Agency's Board of Governors on Monday, Yukaya Amano said he's worried about the increasing tensions over the Iran nuclear issue, adding it's essential that Iran fully implements its nuclear-related commitments. Receiving members of the 92nd plenary session of ORACO, the reunion of aid agencies that provides aid to the Oriental Catholic Churches, Pope Francis today made an unexpected announcement. Linda Bordoni tells us more.
Un pensiero insistente mi accompagna pensando all'Iraq, dove ho la volontà di andare il prossimo anno.
I think constantly of Iraq, where I wish to travel in the coming year, Pope Francis said, as he addressed representatives of ROACO, that gathers charities who help Christians in the Middle East and other regions. And reflecting on the situation in the country, he said that it is his hope that Iraq is able to build a peaceful future based on the shared pursuit of the common good on the part of all elements of society, including the religious, without falling back, he said, into hostilities sparked by the simmering conflicts of the regional powers. Should his wish come true, it would be the first apostolic visit ever to the nation, where the Christian minority suffered much persecution and hardship when the so-called Islamic State took control of large swathes of the country. The Pope went on to list a number of other countries within ROACO's reach that are close to his heart and where Christians continue to suffer, including Syria and Ukraine.
E non dimentico l'Ucraina.
He thanked those present, saying they attend to the plea of all those who in these years have been robbed of hope.
In questi anni sono stati derubati dalla speranza.
Pope Francis also expressed his hope for the Holy Land, where an initiative sees Christian communities of the status quo working side by side, with the cooperation of local and international actors. He also said he's happy for the young people of Ethiopia and Eritrea, who have abandoned weapons and live in harmony. Pope Francis did not neglect to highlight the plight of migrants and refugees.
Gridano le persone in fuga ammassate sulle navi.
We hear the plea of persons in flight, he said, crowded on boats in search of hope, not knowing which ports will welcome them in a Europe, he continued, that opens its ports to ships that will load sophisticated and costly weapons, capable of producing forms of destruction that do not spare even children.
Che non risparmiano nemmeno I bambini.
I'm Linda Bordoni.
Pope Francis received civil aviation chaplains and pastoral agents on Monday, calling on them to carry out their ministry with commitment and enthusiasm. Sister Carmelan reports.
Pope Francis on Monday addressed members of Catholic airport chaplaincies who are meeting in Rome for a seminar dedicated to their Catholic civil aviation chaplains and members of the airport chaplaincy at the Service of Integral Human Development. In ministering to the millions of people who travel by air each day, Pope Francis told pastoral workers, "You are called to bring the message and presence of Christ and to bring to everyone, whether Christian or not, the good news of God's tender love, hope and peace."
A portare a tutti I fedeli e gentili il Vangelo della tenerezza, della speranza e della pace.
The Holy Father said he was pleased to see their focus on integral human development, which embraces a variety of particular concerns. "I urge you to carry out your ministry with commitment and enthusiasm," he said. He also urged pastoral concern for pilots and cabin crew, as well as speaking about the importance of providing opportunities in airports for people to have an encounter with God in prayer and in the sacraments. Pope Francis also spoke out in favor of migrants and refugees who pass through airports, highlighting the necessity for pastoral workers to ensure their human dignity and that their rights might be safeguarded.
Fa parte anche della vostra cura pastorale vigilare che sia sempre tutelata la loro dignità umana.
Missionary spirit must be the inspiration and guide to all our activity, Pope Francis said in conclusion, before entrusting them all to the Blessed Virgin Mary under the title of Our Lady of Loreto, Patroness of Civil Aviation. I'm Sister Carmelan.
And finally, the Congregation for Catholic Education has published Male and Female, He Created Them, Towards a Path of Dialogue on the Question of Gender Theory in Education. The new document is intended as an instrument to help guide Catholic contributions to the ongoing debate about human sexuality and to address the challenges that emerge from gender ideology. Christopher Wells tells us more.
The objective of the new document is to support those engaged in the education of younger generations to address methodically the issues most debated today about human sexuality, especially in light of the broader horizon of an education in love. In particular, it is addressed to those working in Catholic schools, as well as those who, inspired by a Christian vision, work in other schools. The Congregation for Catholic Education speaks of an educational crisis, in particular on the themes of affectivity and sexuality, and in the face of challenges emerging from various forms of an ideology that is given the general name gender theory, which denies the difference and reciprocity in nature of a man and a woman. The text speaks of an anthropological disorientation that characterizes the cultural climate of our time, contributing to the destabilization of the family. In response, the new document proposes a path of dialogue based on three guiding principles of listening, reasoning, and proposing. Listening involves looking at the history of the development of so-called gender theory while suggesting areas both of agreement and of criticism. The second principle, reasoning, offers rational arguments that clarify the idea of the body as central to personal identity and family relationships. The third main section of the document proposes a renewed Christian anthropology as the basis for an integral ecology of man. It maintains that human nature must be understood in light of the unity of body and soul, with both a vertical dimension oriented toward God and a horizontal dimension aimed at interpersonal human relationships. In regard to education, the new document insists on the inalienable rights and duties of parents in the education of their children, while advocating a renewed alliance between parents, schools, and society in regard to educating children on affectivity and sexuality. Finally, the new document asserts the legitimate aspirations of Catholic schools to teach their own vision of human sexuality, which it maintains is consistent with the culture of dialogue it promotes. I'm Christopher Wells.
Well, that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, be sure to visit our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. You can also like our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter. Many thanks goes to Giuseppe Moriello in the studio in the Vatican. Thank you for joining us.